Hi, I'm Elaine. Welcome to my podcast channel.
Hi, Daniel. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So would you like to introduce your institution? What are you studying right now? And
I'm a first-year student at MIT, and I plan to study math.
Oh, that's really interesting. What kind of math are you planning to study?
I don't know. Well, the degree is called, probably, that I'll try to get is probably called pure mathematics, but probably more on the algebra side of that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds really interesting. Any courses that, what's your favorite course?
I'm taking an algebraic geometry course that I'm finding really interesting.
Okay, so I would really like to know about your childhood. So what sparked your mathematical interest? How did you get interested in math in general? So what made you interested?
So both my parents are professional mathematicians. So I don't know, it just seemed natural. They would talk about math, but it wasn't like, you know, forced onto me or anything like that. It was just like, it was just something that it just felt very organic that I developed an interest for math. I mean, obviously it was related to my parents being mathematicians, but it did feel like I sort of discovered it to some extent on my own. It was pretty early on, I would say. I would say I only got sort of more serious into math a few years ago, but ever since I was like a pretty small kid, I was definitely like, you know, math was always my favorite subject at school or whatever.
Yeah. So in your family, do you discuss math every single day? Like, is that normally the topic?
We just talk about, you know, I mean, we're like a regular family, occasionally one of my parents will have something that they think might be interesting for me to hear or something like that, but it's not like a big thing.
Yeah, so I also did some research about you, and I noticed that you developed a theorem related to Carmichael numbers. So can you tell us about that too?
Yeah, so Carmichael numbers are sort of interesting because they're numbers that are not prime, but they behave in some sense as if they were prime. Mm-hmm. And so I like to think of them as sort of false positives for sort of the most typical primality test, which is the Fermat primality test. And so these types of numbers were somewhat interesting out of, you know, pure curiosity, but also there's some application to cryptography where you want to use primes and it's not good to use Carmichael numbers. But for me, I mean, it was entirely just something that I found interesting. But anyway, that's sort of the background of why people started being interested in these numbers. And then, so there were some natural questions that people asked. Sort of the first and most natural question was, you know, how many of these numbers are there? You know, you could find examples on the computer. The smallest one is 561, but it was conjectured that there were infinitely many, and that took quite a while to be proven. And it was only in the 1990s that three mathematicians succeeded. And so they showed not only that there are infinitely many, but, you know, there are quite a few. If you ask, you know, asymptotically, how many Carmichael numbers are there less than n, they were able to show these very strong bounds on just how many there were. But that sort of didn't quite end the story, because there were sort of questions you could ask sort of at a finer scale, like, are there any, you know, really large gaps between Carmichael numbers, such as, you know, to give an extreme example, like, are there any large integers n such that there are no Carmichael numbers between n and 2n? And so people thought the answer was no, but it was a conjecture. And then I was reading this paper that proved that there are infinitely many, and they raised this question. And I thought, wow, that sounds really interesting. I want to see if maybe I can figure out how to prove this. And so it was quite hard. And it took me a while, and I had, many, many false attempts. And I at the beginning I really did not think I was going to succeed, but so in the end I managed to prove it.
Wow, that's it's a long journey. So did your parents help you during this process?
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to them about the details, and they were able to several points, really give me very useful advice. I also just, moral support. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little silly, but it was very discouraging at points, and it really is helpful if you have people around you who just, offer support, and just it really kept me I really felt that I had the support necessary to I didn't let it get me down, and I just felt that I was able to continue working on it despite not really being that confident in my success, but I was able to push through. And I would say there were sort of two ways in which they helped me.
Mm-hmm. That's great. How about your school teachers? Were they also very helpful?
So, at that point, it was the middle of the pandemic, and mm-hmm. I didn't really have that much interaction with my teachers. So they didn't play a big factor.
Yeah. So how did the pandemic affect your studies?
Yeah, obviously it was a hard time for everybody. I was pretty lucky. My parents were college teachers. They were able to teach online, so sort of we were able to stay safe. In some sense, having all that extra time probably did help, but at the same time, it was the stress of everything that was going on did make it harder as well. So it was definitely a bit rough, but yeah,
that's really interesting, because for a lot of schools here in Canada, the schools basically closed down because of COVID. So did that happen at the same time? I mean, did that also happen in the US or something like that?
Yeah, for sure. I was a senior in high school. Well, no. I guess at that point I was a junior in high school. But fortunately, I had taken a lot of the courses I had to take to graduate. So I only had a few courses left. And I was able to take those online. Of course, it was, pretty disruptive. But for me, that aspect of it was not the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in high school, of course you love math. Which course was your least favorite?
Least favorite. Probably English. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Enough said, I guess.
I mean, it's totally different from math. I think that's why.
It's totally different from math. It really, I don't know. It's writing essays. It's not something that I am any good at. So it was a struggle.
If you're going to write a research paper, then you still have to write an essay. So,
I mean, it's the standards are very, very different. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, essays for me are really, really hard too, so I can totally understand. Yeah, interesting. So, I mean, of course, you're now in college, but I was wondering in high school, were you able to discuss mathematical ideas with your peers, or were because a lot of people don't like math. Same for me around people around me, they don't really like math. So did you have an opportunity to talk to your peers or your friends about what you're doing?
Yeah, to some extent, I would say. There was a math club in the town that I grew up in, and so there, I mean, there definitely were people who were interested in math and who wanted to talk about it. Maybe not like you had to go out of your way to find them. Like, it's not like, like my friends at school were not particularly into math, but there were people in my town that were interested in math, and I was to some extent able to talk math with them. But I guess I would say that I, probably a bigger influence on me was, yeah, talking math with my parents and my sister, who is, I have an older sister. She's also into math. So like I said before, it's not like I, was solely talking math to my family or anything like that. But I did, obviously you see a lot more of your family than, the math club was like 1 hour a week. So it just wasn't as much time, I guess. So yeah.
So are you better than your sister?
Oh no. I mean, first of all, like, I don't think that there's like a sense in which like you can compare people exactly in math, but I mean, she's older than me, so she obviously knows a lot more than me.
So it's so a lot of conversation happens between you and your parents and then your family members and
I
then
mean, it's like on the grid, like compared to everything else we talk about, it's a small fraction of our conversation, but it adds up. So I guess I would say it's quite a lot over all the years.
So, did you do any projects during math projects during your childhood that you think is really interesting?
Yeah, I came up with this. Well, I didn't come up with it. I read about this sort of variant of the Fibonacci sequence, and so I don't know. I mean, there are 1,000 variants that you can imagine. This was one of them. It was a bit mysterious. I mean, it's not like it was well known. It was like, I don't know. I found it. There's this online encyclopedia of integer sequences, which sort of has like this huge collection of possible number sequences, and so it was a sequence there, and so I just found it interesting, and I tried to do a bit of work into understanding its properties better, and yeah, that was, I mean, it, I found that really interesting because, it wasn't something people cared about really, but yeah, it was, the sequence was displaying some behavior that was sort of hard to initially explain, and I was able to figure out why it was doing that. So yeah, that was a project I worked on a few years ago that was really fun.
So regarding what you said about Fibonacci sequences, so do you find math, the connection between math and nature in general?
I mean, I've heard about people talk about this sort of stuff, like the number of petals or whatever. I don't know. It's not something that I really know, or yeah, I don't know. It's not, I hear about it, but I'm not like really into that stuff, I guess.
Okay, interesting. So do you do anything else than math, like hiking or anything else?
I really like listening to music. I like playing soccer, chess. Those are sort of my main hobbies.
Yeah, what kind of music do you like listening to?
Classical mostly.
So Mozart or?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Mozart, Beethoven, Bach.
Yeah, is it because there's this mathematical rhythm inside or whatever?
I don't know. I there might be some deep reason, but I don't know. I just listen to it because it makes me happy.
Okay. So do you listen to music while studying, or you don't think that's a really good thing to do?
I do it. I don't know if it's, I do think it can be a bit distracting sometimes, but I definitely do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I know that there's a lot of connections between chess and math. So do you incorporate your mathematical? So there's a lot of tactics and skills involved in chess. Do you, what's the connection between chess and math, do you think?
I think they're both like extremely logical. Like chess really is like, I wouldn't say solely. I mean, chess is definitely has like a very creative side in terms of like strategy and stuff like that. I mean, there also is like the tactical side, which is sort of more brute calculation. But actually, I mean, that sort of does resemble math, where like to some extent there's like, you know, obviously a lot of calculations and stuff like that, but it is also like very creative. So yeah, I guess there is some similarity there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So it's soccer, music, and chess. That's really a lot to do, because I've heard that a lot of mathematicians, and then their hobbies are hiking. So something different. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have some questions from people who I know. Okay. What's your favorite color and why?
Probably blue.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's possible to explain
what
why
kind of blue
your favorite color is your favorite color, but I don't know. It's just, what can I say? I like blue.
Yeah. Dark blue, light blue, or what?
Probably light. Not super light, but on the lighter side.
Cool. So can you describe your perfect day 10 years from now? What do you envision your perfect day as?
I don't know. I guess, you know, being a professional mathematician would be sort of a dream job for me. So, you know, wake up and, you know, get to work on, you know, some problem that really interests me, and that seems really deep and mysterious. That's sort of probably my dream day, would be something like that.
Mm-hmm. So by yourself, like just looking at a problem or working with other people?
Probably working with other people. I do like collaborate. You know, math can be really frustrating to do on your own.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think talking to people and being able to like bounce ideas off people is really great.
Mm-hmm. So who's your favorite mathematician?
Well, Terry Tao is sort of this giant, and I mean, in all of math, but he particularly specializes in analytic number theory, mm-hmm. which is probably the branch that interests me the most. So, yeah, I would say probably Terry Tao is sort of my inspiration or my role model or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know him personally, or are you?
No, I've never met him, but yeah.
Yeah. So you envision knowing him one day in the future or something?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else, or he's the only one that you're super idolized, this person?
So there's another person in analytic number theory who actually just won the Fields Medal,
mm-hmm.
which is like the math. Yeah. James Maynard is his name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he, it was actually really cool. I got to use some of the techniques that he pioneered in resolving this problem about Carmichael numbers. And I actually sort of got interested, it's a long story, but I sort of did get interested in Carmichael numbers because I started reading about the work that Maynard had done, specifically about gaps between primes. And so, yeah, so it was, I don't know, it was just really cool to be able to use that work in resolving this problem, which, you know, there is a connection, but it's not immediately obvious. So anytime you can sort of connect two areas of math is really cool.
Mm-hmm. So which two areas do you mean of math?
Yeah, so I guess like studying what you might call prime constellations, which are like patterns in primes. So like twin primes, for example, which are primes that are two apart. And then the other branch would be, and not branch, I mean, like the whole, they're both topics in analytic number theory, but yeah. And then the other one being sort of the study of Carmichael numbers.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed that you're really, really ahead in math compared to people around your age. Is that true?
I mean, at MIT, you know, you have people sort of at all stages, and, you know, there are people ahead of me, there are people behind me. But, you know, I just I don't know, it's really, I feel like some people have like the idea that MIT is like a really competitive place, and yeah, like it's not entirely false, but like I do feel like and like the math department is nice because it doesn't feel like it doesn't really feel like a competition. It feels like, you know, everybody is sort of on their own journey, I guess you could say, with math, and mm-hmm. there, you know, we're all at different places with it, but I don't know.
Yeah, so do you go partying or you just do math all day? Because there's this balance between socializing and academics.
Yeah, I'm probably more on the math all day side. Not that exactly covers it, but yeah, there is a bit of a spectrum, and I'm probably more on the math all day side of it.
Okay, so what is your daily schedule as an MIT student, sort of like?
I mean, it really depends. I mean, you know, obviously I have classes every day, but after class, you know, sometimes I go to, you know, events or clubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't really, you know, I'm still pretty new to college and I haven't really formed a routine yet. So I just sort of go where the day takes me usually.
Yeah. So, around what time do you go to classes and what time do you finish?
So all my classes are sort of fit in between 11 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've breaks, but that's sort of basically my class schedule.
Yeah. So do you have any friends at MIT, or you're kind of like by yourself and then doing your own thing?
No, I would say I have friends, or, yeah, I mean, I haven't known anybody at MIT for terribly long, but, there's certainly people who I'm friendly with, and I think they sort of will turn into friends with more time, if that makes sense.
So how many hours do you spend time with your friends in a week? Do you estimate that?
I mean, I don't know, like 5 maybe?
5 hours? Really?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know.
And then the other, every 7 days you just spend 5 hours with your friends?
No, I mean spread out during the week.
Oh, okay.
So oh, do you go to parties or anything? I understand your question. Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, do you go to parties or like group social activities?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call them parties, but like you know, like they're like social events, yeah.
But for the rest of your time, you just study math yourself.
No, I mean it's not. No, I mean I do stuff that is other than meeting with my friends or studying math. But yeah.
Okay. So, are you working with a professor right now? Are you developing a new formula because you just came up with your Carmichael numbers formula? So, are you gonna develop a new one, or have you noticed one yet?
So I've maybe started, I don't know, not really. Right now I'm just sort of trying to get the hang of college. And really, you know, there's so many classes to take and you know, I'm mostly focusing on coursework.
Yeah, and so when you're in college, I mean, your GPA in high school must be really high, you know, but in college, is it like lower, or do you think it's higher, inflation or deflation, something like that?
So, I mean, you know, I haven't gotten any grades back yet, but I think it's going okay so far. But, you know, obviously the courses are much tougher, and and it's not. In high school, there were definitely some courses that felt like if you sort of put the minimal amount of effort, you automatically got an A.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely not true at MIT. But it's also not true that I haven't found any of my courses like impossibly tough or anything like that. Like obviously, you know, you can choose classes and they're classes with reputations of being, you know, really hard. But yeah, I don't know. I think so far, you know, I'm taking several introductory classes this year. So this is like my easiest.
So you're taking semester. Around 4 to 5 classes right now, or?
Yeah, I'm taking IE4, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot, because normally I heard people say they take 2 or 3 or something like that. So
yeah, it really depends on, like, I know somebody who's taking like 7 right now.
Wow.
So like I have no idea how that's possible, but you know, I assume some of those courses are probably not so time intensive. So I think it really just depends.
So are you getting 100% or 90s in math? Because it's like with minimum effort, you can do really well in your math course.
No, that's definitely not how it works. But yeah, I'm staying like roughly in the 90s, but it takes a lot of effort. The homework sets are quite difficult.
Mm-hmm. So how long do you your homework normally?
So it's somewhere between 10 and 15 hours a week. Probably closer to 10 recently. Earlier in the semester, I was struggling a bit more, and it was 15. But yeah, so I mean, it's not, so you know, you don't want to take like multiple PSET courses. Like 2 or 3 is like the max, but right now I sort of have like one math class, and then the other classes definitely give like much less homework, so it's manageable.
Mm-hmm. So are you spending more time on like chemistry, European history, things like that, and because you have to work harder for these classes, or it's sort of like evened out?
Well, they're introductory classes, so like it would definitely be true probably in general that I would have to spend more time on chemistry or physics, because I'm taking these like low level courses. They aren't like, you know, everybody at MIT has to take these courses, so they mm-hmm. aren't terribly time intensive. You know, they're like, I don't know, 5 hours of homework a week or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any study methods for math? How do you study math?
I don't know. Not really. I do find that, you know, writing in a notebook as opposed to like taking notes like on a computer or something like that, I think for me writing it down physically helps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really do anything very special.
So do you write? I've heard that some people write theorems down on a notebook or something like that to help them memorize theorems. Do you memorize theorems, or you just understand how everything works?
I mean, I don't put a huge amount of focus into memorizing stuff, but more like understanding the theory behind stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So did you ever reach a point in which you were out of balance, such as doing math every single day and you were just exploded or something?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. Like, for example, like earlier this semester when I was spending more time on my math homework, and, you know, it would be like, you know, the deadline would be approaching and I'd have to like do whatever, 4 or 5 hours straight, or, you know, with a short break or something like that. And yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely tough sometimes when you feel like your brain just can't do this anymore. But yeah, I don't know. It really is just something where, you just have to try to take a break, like a longer break, like, you know, a day or even a week or something like that. And
you normally do, and if you're gonna take a break for a day, any activities, extracurriculars?
I don't know. I just like reading or just doing relaxing stuff.
Yeah. So, do you read math books or
no? If I'm relaxing, I'm not reading math books.
So, any novels that you really enjoy?
I mean, I don't have any recommendations. I mean, I haven't read any books that blew me away recently, but I've read some decent books. I don't know.
So what kind of novels do you read? Like classics or?
I guess a lot of what I read is science fiction, but I also read a lot of more, not classics, but sort of more traditional, or not traditional.
Like, have you read Carl Sagan, Science as a Candle in the Dark?
No, I've not read that book. I don't know. I'm like historical fiction, I don't know. I just like choose whatever. I'm pretty. I don't just read books like of a single type, but I generally just like whatever I'm in the mood for, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So are they on paper or online or something?
No, but I don't like reading books online, so I read them. Like I need the physical version.
Yeah, you seem really traditional. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just like so much of what we do these days is online that whenever I get the chance, like to do something physical, like, yeah, I think that is easier to focus for one thing.
Yeah. Do you drink beer or tea?
No to both. In the US, you anyway can't drink alcohol until you're 21, but no, I don't drink tea either.
You drink coffee or?
Coffee if I get a bad night's sleep, but I don't do it regularly.
Interesting. And okay, what are you most thankful for in life?
Probably just my family. I feel really lucky to have grown up like my family is really supportive, and I feel really thankful for them.
That's great. Does your whole family do math, like your grandparents and your great great grandparents, something like that?
One of my grandfathers was a mathematician. Another was a physicist, and I have a grandmother who is a computer scientist. So a lot of them did like science, but not all math.
Interesting. So are your friends all like math nerds?
Definitely more than the average population, or the average MIT student, I guess. But like, I also have like friends who are not particularly into math.
So I would say it seems like your friends are all in STEM or something like that.
Is that true? More or less, yeah.
Great. Most
people at MIT are into STEM.
That is really good. So are people around you all really, really smart, or it's not true, or it's a fallacy, sort of like this MIT place, it's just where smart people go to?
I think MIT does get, on average, the students at MIT are like on average smarter than like, you know, at your average high school or whatever. But it's not like, I don't know. I think sometimes like it does get over exaggerated, you know, in the media or whatever.
You're saying that there are some dumb people there. So
No, they're not like dumb people. It's not like if you go like expecting that like everybody you meet will be like Einstein, that's not really like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's like everybody is like, you know, really like interested in like, well, usually interested in science and like, I don't know. Definitely like people at MIT are like, smarter on average than like in high school, but yeah, it's not like, it's like intimidating to talk to people because they're like, every word out of their mouth is like, that's all I'm saying. Like there's definitely like some truth to the stereotype, but it's not like entirely, like it can be blown out of proportion.
And that's basically the questions on my list.